Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, police.
Oh my God!
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker!
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. For C-SPAN, meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Sammy and I have handed the Europe baton off to Elise today. Millie, are you next? You gotta be next.
I feel
you
gotta like fuck I gotta off. Go. I gotta go.
Europe's the hottest spot.
I know.
The whole thing, the whole continent.
The whole country of Europe.
Millie, if you're not out next week, and then Caitlin the following.
Caitlin's out too. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know. She usually takes her birthday, but I don't think it's this. I think she's just... Maybe she's off abroad too. But you know, it really couldn't be a better like series of weeks to leave the country. I'd recommend it.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I need a Euro trip.
Well, you were there famously right before the pandemic.
Famously
began.
In March 2020. Travel ban was on March 13th from Europe. Millie came back March 11th. Wow. 2020.
Iconic behavior. I was thinking of you because of all the mopeds, and I was like, I cannot believe that this chick rides a moped in New York City.
In New York City.
And lives to see the day. It's honestly really selfish because if something happened to you, who would I have to host the podcast? Twice
four other people who are all in Europe. No, I have
who might
like
get
a,
hit by mopeds.
I like that we're covering different countries too.
Yes.
Right. That of course. Is.
Yeah, everyone's covering different countries. Listen, I've been all over up and down South America. So y'all need to get on my tip because the dollar goes far there.
I know. I yesterday I was Googling like where is the dollar worth a lot? Like honestly, and? I would love to go. I really want to go to Costa Rica or like Belize. I feel like that would be I'm trying to go to both of those. Yeah.
I haven't gotten there, but love it. Colombia is great.
Bobby really wants to go to Colombia. He's like, please, can we go to Colombia? I'm like,
oh,
I went for a bachelorette
great.
Party. I have a very, my memories are very like bachelorette related, uh-huh. You know?
No,
but it was
let
really
that
fun.
Go.
Yeah.
Let go to Colombia. It's so fun. So cheap. I recommend it. But yeah, no, I will go to Europe to honor y'all, but I will have a beautiful affair in Europe on a moped under the Tuscan sun hasn't seen.
Hell yeah.
I need to watch that.
Well, famously.
Have your Diane Lane moment.
Yeah. Famously, I thought it was about Arizona. I thought it was under the two stars. <sun. laughs> And I'm like, damn, all the guys in Arizona are fine. On.
Somebody has definitely branded their Tucson bachelorette party under the Tucson sun. Absolutely, that has happened.
Search that hashtag. I guarantee you there are parts of Arizona that are really trying to emulate Tuscany in their architecture. So maybe sounds under the good. Tucson sun is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I fall in love with a guy who has a pickup truck and has a dead fish in his Tinder profile.
Listen, we all remember from Maricopa County, hearing endlessly about Maricopa County.
Millie, you could one day have a vote in Maricopa County.
Oh my
God. Is Tucson even in Maricopa County?
Oh gosh, not. I don't know.
Well,
somebody
check.
Will tell us. Yes, okay, so we're going to return to the United States for a moment.
Damn.
Yesterday at the house, we're going to talk about guns a little bit. You guys talked a lot about guns earlier in the week. We're going to talk about guns a little bit more today because yesterday the House heard just fucking devastating testimony. I don't even have words to describe this testimony. Do you? I mean, there is not a word that is strong enough to describe how sad and just devastating this testimony was from victims and family members. Specifically, a pediatrician spoke, and he really had a way with words, and again, I'll say a devastating sense, and he described the state of the children's bodies after the shooter unloaded an AR-15 into them. And I won't repeat what he said, but I mean, it was just a really impactful way to connect what happened to these children to the specific availability of these types of weapons, which can definitely be addressed. A young survivor described the massacre, and the mother of a slain child addressed parents directly, saying there's nothing right now keeping the same fate from meeting their children. And shortly after that, the House passed new measures being described as tough, including raising the minimum age for the purchase of most semi-automatic rifles to 21 and banning high-capacity ammunition magazines. I keep seeing this phrased as like the toughest gun bill yet, and it seems like seems real basic. Like tough, I hear tough and I want like to be like Fauci knocking at your door taking your gun.
Yeah. So if you're 22, you can right. still shoot up. Yeah. And high capacity, like, yeah, I think this is really basic. Like, nobody should have high capacity ammunition. And just thinking about all the people that say they need guns for hunting, like, if you're talking about, not to compare these children's bodies to animals, but, like, nobody wants their deer that they hang up in their house to have all these bullet holes and be completely like blown off. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's no need for high capacity ammunition. And like yeah. me, I'm going to keep repeating this. And you don't need to protect yourself from the US government. US government do whatever they want. They'll kill you. They'll wipe out your whole block without leaving their office.
Truly.
So
yeah.
With the drone strike.
It says a lot about where the bar is that this is like widely being called the toughest gun bill. I really have a hard time in my mind, like figuring out, like, am I celebrating this? And am I like believing that this is going anywhere in the Senate?
I know we're like, this isn't even that tough. And it's not even probably like,
right. Like I feel almost guilty to not have like that enthusiasm about it. But then again, I'm like, why am I going to pretend like I think this is good enough or I think this is effective? If the, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend that the best that this is the best we could get, given other circumstances.
Totally.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that this is going to pass in the Senate, Amanda?
I mean, it's interesting because, like, as Sammy was saying, we were even sort of like talking about this as we were like working on morning announcements yesterday. It's like, as people who share the news, like, we don't want to be too cynical and be like, this probably isn't fucking passing, but like, it really probably isn't fucking passing. I mean, they're saying we're in this, we have deja vu about them being like, maybe we're getting close, but usually that deja vu involves Joe Manchin. And this time it's like John Cornyn saying, hey, I think maybe the Republican senator, he's from Texas as well, saying like, maybe we can actually get something, please stand by. But I don't know, and we say this every time, like, I guess it's still great to have these senators refuse to do something so basic and then be able to blame them. But it's still just like, it's a boring cycle.
Yeah, and it just would really make a huge, like, we always talk about Democratic messaging. I mean, we definitely want to get caught trying and all this stuff, and it's good that we can show the cycle. But if we don't actively talk about it and like explain to people why shit isn't passing, not that government doesn't work, but the people in it are fucked up or whatever, like, how can you not be how is this not discouraging to people who send their children to schools and being like, why do I vote? Like, my vote doesn't matter. There's a gun lobby and this and that, when it's just honestly, like, if three senators gave a shit, we could do something more.
I don't know. I sort of feel the opposite. I don't feel like, why do I vote? I feel like, why are more people not more consistently engaged and watching their representatives in a way that like keeps the pressure on consistently? And I think that if there were a more engaged populace and like aware, and maybe there was something done about misinformation.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
Something. You could ultimately get change, but I think that like the culture around the Americans' belief in government is like so off from a place where we can get things done.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, every time like France proposes anything, there's like a huge fucking protest and they light everything on fire. And people are still here like arguing if slavery happened or like if COVID is a thing, even though all their friends have died from COVID. a million people died from COVID in this country, and there's still people like think that it's a hoax. So it's like, it's hard to get people consistently engaged because, and even the way that the media covers it, it's like there's one group that's consistently taking away rights and the other groups that's like, we should include more people. And then the media covers it like mm-hmm. both sides are so bad. And then people are like, well, I can't focus on this. Gas is $6 a gallon. How am I going to get to work? That's making me come in office. You know, so I totally, yeah. It's a lot of problems.
I think I read this correctly about, I think something involving like the January 6th hearings and outcomes, like some lawmakers are even advocating like policies that like basically like demand that journalists cover things like not do the both sides thing. Like you have to cover things, frankly, and how they truly are.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Some of the arguments that politicians have made against these restrictions on semi-automatic rifles, because like you said, Millie, it's like people say they want them to hunt food. Sure. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much left for you to eat after, you know, an AR-15 has had its way with a deer. But, you know, what do I know? But yeah. Senators have said people need them to shoot squirrels and to shoot prairie dogs just for fun.
Why can't you use like a handgun?
Because they're bad at shooting.
Well, get better, bitch.
I think also there's like this.
Get better, bitch.
It's just because they suck. They need these like crazy. It's like putting bumpers like when you're bowling.
So put the fucking bumpers. Like, you know.
It's the same thing. Honestly, this reminds me of Sarah Palin, who one of her hobbies is aerial wolf hunting. It's a low flying plane or low flying planes so that they can shoot a wolf from the plane. You know, it's like completely like.
It's like the opposite
cheating.
Of skeet shooting.
I guess, but it's like, there's no way you're not going to shoot the wolf if you're flying on a low plane and like, they can't hide anywhere. It takes off like so it's just like, what is this? And then a lot of people want to ban it. Cause it's like, whatever. But anyway,
I know that we probably do things that many in this country or the world would find questionable and be like, I can't imagine why anyone would want to do that. I can't imagine like the appeal of watching a living thing go from alive to dead and knowing that you were the cause of it. Like, especially when you paid for a helicopter to take you around to kill it.
Alaska's a boring place to live, okay? Make fun doing something.
Go throw axes at a target.
I don't even care if that's what people want to do, but they do it safely.
I don't either,
whatever.
But I'm talking about the psychological.
Right. But I don't think that going after that part of it really like helps our case.
I think you're right. No, yeah. I totally think you're right. I'm just wondering psychologically.
Right. I agree. I think it's gnarly and weird. And if I had it my way, like you wouldn't be able to have any of this shit. And we talked about this before about like, is it really a matter of like the NRA? But like the NRA has been pretty fucked for a while. I mean, Wayne LaPierre uses most of the money on his suits. There's just no money. Bias towards how things already are when people actually get to vote on these things. And it does feel bad to take things away. Whereas if you think in another country, if you were going to be like, you know what, we're going to start letting people have these weapons that have resulted in like hundreds of dead people in this country every year. And so as I've been thinking about it, it's like some of the things that these Republicans have been saying is that it's immoral to send 18-year-olds to fight for their country without letting them defend themselves at home, which like we all sort of like, fine, raise it to 21.
Yeah, cut the poverty draft.
I know.
You're saying it's so abysmal to take away rights, yet they're like ready to do it about abortion, gay marriage, mm-hmm. like, they're ready to do that for reading fucking Catcher in the Rye. I don't know. So
Well, you know, again, Republicans, their whole philosophy is I get to tell you what to do. You can't tell me what to do. And
that's the official party platform.
Well, then I have to imagine, is there a broad Republican campaign to lower the drinking age to 18? Because by this logic, like, do you think that they would
gristle at that? You can go fight but not drink.
No, because they don't make money from people drinking. They make money from war. Mm-hmm.
They make money from people drinking.
But not the same as, you know, Halliburton.
No, taxes on alcohol across the country are so crazy. And the whole alcohol industry is a racket. And then they pay the government, you know, they have a lobby.
Hashtag buy faux pas.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Take yourself out of the lobby. But I just think, like, the drinking thing I think is interesting, because if you were to ask a bunch of people who probably would, like, be gristle at, like, oh, okay, I don't know if I want to change things or change when people can buy this type of gun. But if you also ask them, like, okay, should we change the drinking age? They probably say, like, oh, no. But these things, like, there's no reason that 18-year-olds can handle the responsibility of drinking alcohol but not to have a semi-automatic rifle.
These are the same people that constantly like to fucking co-opt the word grooming and all this shit and be like, oh, yeah, like,
yeah, you bringing your kids in drag
bars, whatever, and groomers. But then they're literally grooming violence, obviously, with, like, these predatory social media fucking companies that, like, cause that literally cause, like, all these manifestos are on it. It's unregulated. Right. There's a bunch of people, like there's an alarming thing. What is it? The CIA was saying that, like, there's a deep part of the internet where people are celebrating the school shooter and shit like that. And it's just completely unregulated and groomed. And then if we go on the other side where, like, Instagram causes eating disorders, it's just like, y'all are picking the wrong battles. Like, we actually do have things that we need to worry about, grooming and all this shit. It's not a trans person using a bathroom. It's social media with racial slurs and all this, but whatever.
I feel like the word grooming needs to stop being used when it just means, like, you're sort of, like, culturally exposed to something, because by that theory, you could be groomed to be anything. Like, you could say that, like, any town that you grow up in is grooming you to be, like, a member of that community. Literally, yeah, anything.
It has come to just mean, like, exposure to something they disagree with.
The culture. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Which, when grooming is actually a thing. Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah,
it's actually dangerous, right? Because they have now taken away the meaning for the fact that there are actual people who groom children that they're going to assault. So yeah, it's like, now they have almost given anyone license to actually do that by totally just, like,
it's like what happened to the word gaslight, but way worse.
Yeah.
It's the right is always going to co-opt language, progressive language, to use it and manipulate it into whatever they want to say. They say they hate cancel culture. They're literally banning books. They say gaslight, right, whatever.
Books are counterculture.
Yeah, books are cancel culture. It's really crazy because I literally remember this viral video. Remember that viral video about rice? Like, how this one guy was trying to explain how much money billionaires have with grains of rice and stuff. And then I saw it, like, months later, when Fox News was trying to explain how voter fraud works, they use the same analogies. Like, if you have 27,000 or something like that, it's just like, they are not original. They're going to co-opt every single thing, you know, but it's like, it's up to the misinformation to not manipulate or, like, really know what the true meaning is.
Speaking of misinformation, let's talk about the January 6th hearing. Coming to a TV screen near you, it's The Insurrection like you've never seen it before. This is the Insurrection Director's Cut. Expect her to feature never-before-seen footage of January 6th. I'm wondering if I can take this metaphor any further, but they're really hyping it up like it's like DVD extras, stuff you've never seen before. And it's like, yes. I mean, Jamie Raskin said the hearings will, quote, blow the roof off the house, which is just like a tough choice of words for an attack.
I mean, for the intention of the attack.
Exactly.
It's all, they're like, you thought you were going to do it. Watch us do it. It's just, okay.
The Snyder Cut, if you're a nerd. No. If you're a nerd and get that reference.
Do you feel like there's anything that could shock you?
No, I mean, didn't we learn, like, last week that Trump was like, Pence should die? Like, I don't think so.
Also, it has taken so much time to set in. Each, like, thing has set in. So you are new. You adjust newly to how bad you thought it was. it's like if we had found these things out like a month later, yeah, shocking, blow the roof off the house. I put up a poll on my Instagram stories and less than 48% of people are interested in watching the hearings. Like, that is so low for my, like, my particular audience.
Totally.
It's, but they want recounts.
I mean, I will watch them and hopefully I'll be like, oh, great, now I want to. I mean, the committee is really saying there is stuff in here that we have been holding back. But you're right. It's like they've changed. The Overton window is, like, so messed up now that I'm not really sure. I mean, I think it's great for some people to get a reminder, but they seem to think that this will be like their moment to get to people that they haven't before. It's like people can just turn the TV off. Yes, it's prime time, but like you can't force people to sit there. It was a year and a half ago. It's hard to watch. Like, I think it's very important, and I think they have like unreasonable expectations for like the media they're going to get around it and the impact that it's going to have. It's sort of just like a box to check because we needed to do it for democracy and we'll have these clips.
Yeah. And I also think like, I mean, maybe like, I don't think maybe any leadership people will take it seriously or anything, but I would like to think that if I was a Trump supporter or thinking about doing some insurrection shit, right, you know, like, okay, maybe Trump's never going to go to jail. All those people, all these other people are fucking in jail. They're seeing consequences. Like, so if anything, like blowing that up and seeing that and getting attention on that could cause people to be like, oh shit, they're not gonna let it go. This is actually really bad, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not even gonna touch that shit, you know? Like, so maybe for the next interaction that might happen, you know, at least people might be more cautious. I think that's kind of the benefit.
But yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. Fox News is not gonna air this, they said, unless it's, quote, newsworthy, which I think we know what their definition of that will be. And that only will apply regarding the insurrection if the Democrats stay in power. Like, I think the only thing that is going to get blown up coverage is if there is literally a tape recording, Access Hollywood status, of Trump being like, I'm going to kill Mike Pence. Or like, or right. I want like to be, I want to be the, you know, it would have to be so rudimentarily like, I'm going to coup, or like, right, I want to be a dictator.
Like, I think something came out today where like, I guess he asked his Secret Service to go down there and maybe it's that.
He probably did. Here's the thing.
He probably did say that. I believe he did say
it. Yes, but is there a recording of it? So that's what would blow the roof off the house.
Well, because that recording, once that's out, I mean, you can use that in every TV ad if he dares to run again. Although horrifyingly, I saw in like a popularity contest, Ron DeSantis is now more popular than him in a potential.
Well, Ron DeSantis is younger and even more fascisty.
True. Oh, yeah. And smarter and more suave and doesn't say dumb fucking shit like he's going to buy Finland. And like, that just makes you seem like a joke.
He doesn't cause the chaos. He doesn't cause the chaos. I mean, that is ultimately like, ultimately why Trump lost. And then Trump would have had a much better chance to maybe get elected again had he not done this insurrection stuff. Don't you feel
absolutely
like?
Yes. I feel like Trump would still be president. Well, the insurrection thing, he would have gotten reelected, but if he gave half a fuck about COVID, he would still be president.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that if he had not insurrected, then he wouldn't be as dangerous as he is having insurrected.
Yeah. Well, also, he'd probably be on all the social platforms.
Right. You know? So maybe he would
still
be
have his Twitter, all that stuff. So I feel like this, you know, even though he's not going to go to jail or all this stuff, I do feel like it did have consequences for him professionally or whatever. And like, it just took him to a whole nother low. And I feel like there's like articles about a lot of people washing their hands of him before, after, whatever.
I kind of agree that that DeSantis, like, just in the of late, just I would say in the past month or two, the scale, like the attitude scale almost has sort of tipped slightly towards him in terms of like, he's a serious player. And people, I do think, are seeing Donald Trump as more of a joke, especially if he can't get back on Twitter, because if this transaction doesn't go through, which it doesn't seem like it might. It seems like it might not.
Elon? Yeah, Elon, no, he's not going to do it.
Yeah, so
he's a scammer.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think that Trump now sort of like, it's sort of edging to DeSantis a little bit, and that could become more dangerous depending on how things like play.
I mean,
out,
Trump actually. Kind of like is serves a perfect purpose for a lot of those like Republicans right now, because he's not actually in power, but he can cast a sheen on them without them actually risking him, you know, toppling the government they're trying to serve.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, too, I will say, like, just to keep in perspective, DeSantis is popular with, like, he's winning the popular vote of Republicans, again, proportionally to the amount of people in this country. That's not a lot of people. Like, it's like the crazy crazies of the right, you know, fuck with DeSantis because DeSantis is doing shit like don't say gay laws and anti-CRT laws and all that bullshit. But proportionally, it's not like a huge impact. But yeah, like, but if people, you know, aren't excited by the left or by the center left, like the Democrats, like there is a possibility, obviously. So pass student loan debt.
Yeah.
Yes, seriously.
Cancel student loan debt. Please, Biden.
We need it. He'll do it just in time.
Don't you want to get reelected?
Yeah, no. Well, somebody said, interesting, I saw on Twitter, it was like, I actually think Biden's doing a good job. He just had like really bad time. Like the inflation was going to happen no matter what. He had no control over COVID. The gas prices, he has no control. Like he's trying his best.
Have
so that's
you guys
interesting.
Seen that viral YouTube video of like a kid that's like at some like fair parade and like every time he gets up, he gets whacked in the face again. It's the funniest thing ever.
No, I'll but that sounds like Biden.
But it's pretty much what's happening with Biden.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
But now we return to our weekly game, Supporter Suppress. Bridget Swartz, our trusty content assistant on SUP, has joined us. How you doing, Bridget?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
I had Bridget this week. We're working on prepping our When Roe Falls content. So oh, yesterday Jesus. I had Bridget just collect a lot of YouTube clips about the moments and throughout history that brought us to this moment of Roe toppling.
The most depressing series of YouTube clips I have ever
You know, I will say there's like a technique in parenting where it's like when if a child is about to experience something traumatic, you should like prep them. Like you should
You're
talk
welcome.
To them like you're probably going to feel like, how do you think you're going to feel when this happens? Like,
wow.
And what are you going to do when you feel this way? So I feel like you kind of did that, you know?
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah.
Definitely prepped.
All right. Should we get into Support or Suppress? This is our weekly game where we're just going to go through some topics that we have shoved into this framework that we just want to talk about, but more generally discuss if we support or suppress the general concept at hand. Take it away, Bridget.
Okay. So the first one is Biden was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and Jimmy Kimmel basically asked him if he could issue an executive order to do something about gun control.
Can't you issue an executive order? Trump passed those out like Halloween candy.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that something that could happen?
Well, I have issued executive orders within the power of the presidency to be able to deal with these, everything having to do with guns, gun ownership, whether or not you have to have a waiting, all the things that are within my power. But what I don't want to do, and I'm not being facetious, I don't want to emulate Trump's abuse of the Constitution and constitutional authority. And so, I mean that sincerely, because I often get asked, look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy will literally be in jeopardy.
Well, I mean,
not a joke.
And I understand that argument, but also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, you know, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you got to send them to jail, you know. There's that little box in there.
Directly to jail?
So support or suppress?
Support conceptually, but I think he's like skirting the real issue of what the Democrats are not doing. Like, sure, this is about executive orders, but like, I think the Democrats, and not just him, could be doing a more forceful, tactful job that has nothing to do with being a fascist, but generally support.
Yeah.
I would say suppress because gun control is very popular. It's like if he was doing something, executive orders that were unpopular with the popular vote, like gun control always pulls really strong, 60, 70%. I feel like, you know, but that's what Biden does. Biden believes in government and stuff, and he's just going to go with the traditional thing. But Republicans aren't paying square, and if 70 or 60% of people want gun control, then do the popular thing, man. Fuck the Republicans. Trump was using his exec order to ban people from Libya and Iran. Like, that was extremely unpopular. Yeah. So I don't think he's abusing it. And I don't think our democracy is a thing if you're doing what most people say they want. But so that's why I say supplant or suppress.
I think, yeah, I'm like between you guys. I think it's important. The point you made about it being popular, I think is important because I just looked and Obama did the executive order on DACA after he was already reelected. But I don't really think he was punished for that. Like the polling shows that most people think Dreamers should, people that have no memory of living in another place should be forced to return there. So I think that like, I definitely feel like get caught trying on something super popular. I don't think that like, I don't know. I think that when 2024 comes around, I don't really think that the strongest Republican message is going to be like, he did an executive order to like ban these weapons. Maybe we won't miss them by then.
Okay,
I don't know.
You changed my mind. Fine.
I think he's overstating. I think he's making a bit of a false equivalency here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. And I think conceptually, but it's like, you know, and he's so hardline pro-government, pro the way things are. And it's just like not really acknowledging the nuance of like, this is something extremely popular. And anybody who's against gun control is never going to vote for you anyway. They say, let's go Brandon and Sleepy Joe. So whatever, right. Let's get the 60, 70% of people who are tired of getting shot up in grocery stores and get them excited to vote for you.
Amen.
I like
perfect.
That.
And I did read that like he's looking into executive orders for Roe when Roe's overturned. So like,
right. Which is also very popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting,
yeah.
Joe.
Doug, do it. Let's get,
yeah.
Let's get go. Get, I will send you a pen.
Yes.
Do we have Betches Up pens? We should make like executive order pens.
Dump some. Oh yeah. I think we should just fucking dump some at his doorstep.
Okay. The next one.
Oh gosh, this one.
Okay. So, writer Hanna Rosin apologized for a tweet where she gave a very hot take on the movie Fire Island. She gave it an F- on the Bechdel test. The movie is a gay rom-com that is a modern take on Pride and Prejudice. And after the tweet went viral, mostly because so many people were criticizing her opinion.
What is the Bechdel test, Bridget?
Isn't it where two characters in a movie are in a scene like
talk about something other than men, right? Or dating.
Yeah, so two women.
Oh, it's specifically
and it was
women.
Created. Yeah, it was created because a lot of movies like don't have women in it, and if they do, they're always talking about men. So
yeah, served a purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And she said that this movie like played into lesbian stereotypes and therefore like failed the Bechdel test. And so then the inventor of the Bechdel test tweeted that she had added a corollary to it that was, if two men are talking to each other about the female protagonist of an Alice Munro story in a screenplay structured on a Jane Austen novel, pass.
Yeah, which is exactly what Fire Island is. Does anyone support Hanna Rosin's tweet?
No, and I think, like, honestly, it's really sad because I think the reason why this went viral is because I think Joakim Booster, the writer of this movie, did something really interesting and intelligent with, instead of Pride and Prejudice being about, like, money and class thing, he did it with still money, but also, like, how gay men treat non-white gay men and, like, the racism and all of that in the gay community and, like, the ranking and status of that and, like, all that stuff. So I think he did a really interesting take of Pride and Prejudice by, you know, doing that. And it's just really sad that, you know, somebody can see this, like, oh, well, there's no women. And it's just like, it's not your story. And, like, how many gay Asian movies do we have? Also, if you watch it, it's really, really sweet movie. I really liked it a lot.
I have not watched it, and I didn't realize that it was based on Pride and Prejudice, but what you just explained sounds so interesting that I'm, like, definitely going to watch it.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't feel like the Bechdel test was invented for this type of movie. It was invented before movies like this were even getting made. Like, it was... I just feel like, why would you... I feel like it's just
that
a weird state of mind.
That was the criticism. It's not her saying that it failed. It was just like, why are you even applying this, like gatekeeping, like gatekeeping, using second wave feminism to, like, gatekeep what is progressive entertainment?
Right, right. It's like, this isn't the movie that you're trying to make the test for. Like, the test is for Top Gun.
And sometimes you can explore issues that seem more, I guess, less superficial or less indulgent than romance. Like Millie said, like, they're really exploring that to explore race and racism and discrimination. And Hanna Rosin.
Sounds really interesting.
I still do love her. She, like, hosts a lot of podcasts that I love, but she also, like, wrote The End of Men, which is sort of took a stance, which is kind of, like, fallen out of favor about how, like, actually women we can do everything. But then the sort of reaction has been like, well, how come men don't do shit? You know? So this is not actually the first time she's had kind of like a take like this, but I was surprised to see, like, the discourse pop off like this. And I mean, my favorite podcast other than ours is Las Culturistas, so I'm just, like, thrilled for them that they're getting this, like, incredible PR moment.
Well, yeah, and I also will say, like, to address the tweet from Alison Bechdel in the movie, only is it, like, celebrating the work of art of Jane Austen and giving this new exciting twist, but in the movie they talk about, like, you know, because it's like one guy, the Mr. Darcy of the world, is like, all these gays are so shallow and dumb. I read books. And Joel's character also reads books too. So they were talking about this author and, like, oh, like, analyzing her work and stuff. That's what Allison was saying, was like, it's not just about whatever gays, like, they are also talking about how great female authors are in this. So of course this passes.
Yeah.
And it's also not, doesn't even have to be about that. It's an exploration about something else.
My favorite was Melissa Cabus replying, please Beck delete this tweet.
That's really funny.
Because, like, the original tweet got like 3,000 likes, and then that one got 8,000.
That's hilarious.
8, but this was a very weird situation where I feel like the dunking on the tweet, like, people learned something, and it was actually a kind of productive discourse to explain why, you know, there is a type of radical, a little bit outdated feminism that, like, it isn't necessarily, like, dangerous, but needs to be challenged.
It's bordering on TERF stuff, trans exclusionary radical feminist.
It's in the same kind of, like, genre. It's the same kind of, like, energy. It's coming from the same place.
I wonder if, instead of getting influencers, Hulu paid Hanna Rosin to write a shitty tweet. Because I feel more people found out about Fire Island from it and, like, are actually hearing it.
Don't say that out loud. Somebody's going to... Wait, that is the digital agency we can create.
Yes. How much do you have to pay to, like, say something that, like, people are going to remember you as, like, kind of... being, like, white feminist?
Well, like,
about
I said, it was
like,
she was kind of already she was kind of already in that. I mean, she, like, has a great gig. She, like, runs podcasts at, like,
look, everyone's entitled to a shitty take. You know
exactly.
What? Like, I think we have to, like, have a little bit more, like, mercy for shitty takes, changing right. opinions. Like, not that people shouldn't be held accountable. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, yeah. you know, you're saying you like her podcast, and she's really been like someone who you like. So it's like, okay, she has a shitty take, and like,
right? Because she's just like a different, you know, generation. Yeah. She probably has said more problematic things that I'm not aware of. But it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, honey, and not like, fuck you,
right.
bitch.
Right.
Well,
right.
It wasn't all like, honey. I think Ray Sani put it well, where it's like, you know, you're entitled to not like a movie, but I think when people take problem with it, which is what a lot of people do in the social media age right now, is just like, I don't like this movie, which means it's not feminist, or it's not like trying to make your dislike for a movie universal. Is not everything for you. Moralistic, yeah. But also I really did like the movie. It's very, very sweet. So
that's great. Watch it. Does it? Very it sort of sounds like the energy of what's the book smart a little bit?
Yeah, I would say honestly a little sweeter.
Really,
it's very what sweet.
About Barb? Is it like Barb and Star?
Yes, it's got that kind of like vacation. I mean, there's not. I watched that movie on the plane coming back. It doesn't have like a weird villain, like
yeah, okay,
the conspiracy under it. But we started this show with Europe, and Bridget, you're gonna end us, bring us to Europe to end.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you guys think about this one. So the EU agreed that all phones,
Millie specifically.
All phones, tablets, and cameras need to have the same charging port by 2024, meaning iPhones sold in Europe need to change their lightning cable to USB-C connectors. The European Convention said it would make life easier for consumers and save them money. In my opinion, the bad news is that it means that people will say the word dongle a lot less often.
That is a tragedy.
The word just brings me joy.
Nobody ever actually says it. They're just like, do you have
that thing?
I say dongle. I do say dongle.
I say it too. Avi and I talk about them all the time because they're like, it's funny, you know, or it's immature, you know? Yeah. Do you have a dongle?
I could never. I'm too ashamed. So does this mean that basically iPhone users and Android users will be able to use the same charger in Europe?
Yeah, because guess what? Androids have USB-C right now. Mm-hmm. So we are in the future.
So we have to buy new shit.
Yeah. Well,
Apple
I don't
has
know,
to buy new shit.
But if they're changing it in Europe, do you think that they're going to change it in America too?
I imagine they will, because why would you not? Like, people travel, and also like, yeah, I think they will definitely change it, because it would just make it worse for their own users to not. Well,
but they don't care about that.
The thing, like, Apple has to like change their phones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. I love that. I am so supportive of Apple finally having to adjust themselves rather than us having to constantly adjust ourselves to Apple. Although I guess this means there's going to be a lot of people throwing away. This seems like it's going to create a lot of waste. But yes. That's like an app. That's how Apple will spin it.
I'm just like, I super support this because like, capitalism is it goes too fucking far. It's like so many, like creating problems that already have a solve, like the headphone jack shit. And like, okay, we're not going to have headphones anymore. Oh, you got to buy this. Oh, you have your computer has a different charger. And it's just like, it's really cool to see the EU being like, enough of this.
It's a consumer rights like issue.
Exactly. And it's just like making money for the sake, like just some things. It's like, keep it simple. Like, everyone's already buying your $1,200, $1,300 phone. Why do we have to buy all new chargers and all new shit for it? And also, it doesn't make sense that like my MacBook can charge my Android, but an iPhone can't use that. Like, it doesn't make sense. They just want to make more money with the fucking chargers.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are the types of things that, like, where capitalism is just like, let's just squeeze another billion out of there.
Exactly.
From the fucking charger ports.
Well, Millie and I were talking about, Millie, we need to do a series about just, like, shit that Europe does. Maybe not even Europe, like, Japan and, like, other countries that you've been to just, like, do better, and how America's a scam. We'll be pointing all of those out for sure.
I think one of the most interesting things to explore in that is like the ingredients in, like, food and what they allow into their food, because I don't think this is an accident that every time I come back from Europe, I'm like significant, like my body is less like
bloated.
I know that's too. Like a really weird, that seems so stupid.
I ate tons of calories for a week, but I came back, everything I wanted.
Yeah. But you, like, there's something I think in the food. The wine does not give you a hangover.
Why is that?
I don't know.
So my friend lived in London, and she says that like all the chemicals like
they're illegal
that make food taste good like are banned and illegal in Europe. So my friend's like, you know, there's all these great benefits in the UK and in London, but the food is not as good as no, like a regular Chinese place or a McDonald's here tastes better because of all the disgusting chemicals that they allow in our food because they want to make money.
We've also just like they've like hijacked our taste buds. So now we need everything to taste like a hot Cheeto.
No. Yeah. Food in the UK is like notoriously bad. Anywhere else in Europe, the food is superior to America without the chemicals.
Sure.
So it's like, no, there's bullshit. Their ingredients are fresh. Their stuff is more local. It is their chemicals are so many of the chemicals that we consume are banned. And I just don't think it's an accident that like,
well, I think we're going to have to do a team wide investigation for at least several weeks.
Yes.
To ensure.
You want me to go?
Yeah, let's
we should
do
all
it.
Go. Let's do it.
Let's just both go together.
Let's go to Tucson and then Tuscany.
And compare the difference in the ingredients.
Compare the difference.
Beautiful. That is the Betches project. Everybody has been waiting for it. That is the end of our show. Enjoy the hearings tonight. Pop a bottle, get some popcorn until the end.
Pop a faux pas.
Exactly. I'm going to go get one from the office right now, actually. Yeah. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Timmerman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.